The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning. 10 minutes after 6, it is Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Heard a good one? Want to share your thoughts in the existing conspiracies? Happy to take your call. 770-5633-770-KMED. By the way, anytime you want to email the show, it's bill@billmeyershow.com. A lot of people already have my cell phone number. They're text messaging me, too. But I really prefer that you email. And the reason that I do this, in fact, I thought I would do this. There are many people I know, and they have my cell phone number. And so they text message me everything that comes, you know, to mind that they think is interesting, which is really great. I mean, nothing wrong with that, except that text messages are very difficult to use on the air. Best thing to do, if you get an email, I know it's a kind of old school by today's standards now, but the email works better, also easier to print. I know a lot of people live out of their phones, and I get that. I understand that. I'm not one of them. In fact, I'm trying to get my cell phone to shut up at night because I'm on call. And so, you know, a transmitter needs care and feeding, or it needs its diaper changed. It calls me in the middle of the night. So anytime you get the bing bong, and then it's something, and then somebody sending me a story from Breitbart, well, you know, it's okay. Like I said, I appreciate you trying to share a thing, or, you know, keep me in the loop. Just better to do it on email, okay? Just thought I would mention this. All right. I need a little help from you, the Southern Oregon jury, on whether or not I should invite a particular guest on. I don't often toss this out to you or ask you if I should talk to someone here. But I received one of the strangest interview guest pitches of my career this morning. And it's intriguing. There's a part of me that is thinking, this is could be one of the most amazing grifts ever, or the best way of getting the climate change grift going and continuing to spin this, because it's kind of spinning out of control. You know, a lot of people are trying to figure out, all right, so you're trying to tell me that because of the climate change, rich people get to fly, and I get to stay in a stack and pack, climate-friendly, equitable community in downtown Medford and Grants Pass and Ashland, and eat bugs, right? And that's what it is? Right. Because that's kind of how the World Economic Forum types have been doing this. You know, Klaus Schwab, you know, you must eat the bugs, right? So I ended up getting this pitch from Malaika Mera, and says, "Hi, Bill. Can we set up an interview with John Thomas, co-author of Channeled Messages of Hope? John brings a unique perspective as an engineer-turned-metaphysical investigator who's channeled climate wisdom from historical figures like Nixon, McCain, and Roosevelt. His work bridges science and spirituality, offering fresh insights on how past leaders view today's environmental challenges from beyond the grave. He can discuss how these historical figures' perspectives on climate change have evolved in the afterlife and provide actionable advice for our current crisis." You know, I'm surprised that the people over at SOCAN haven't gotten into this, haven't tried this. This will be the next thing. You know, you have the people, you know, the kids over in Ashland, too, that are, you know, the ones that ended up getting the natural gas, you know, banned, or else you have to pay a lot more to have a natural gas furnace or natural gas gas range, you know, that sort of thing. I'm surprised they haven't tried this. This is the next wrinkle. I think it's brilliant in some ways. All right? So what this guy is claiming, then, is that he's a psychic, but he's an engineer by trade, and that he will connect you with his book and with his work with John McCain, Nixon, Teddy Roosevelt, and just share astonishing conversations with you. John can share what Nixon, McCain, and Roosevelt say about climate change now and why they regret missed opportunities, the urgent warnings that these leaders want to give today's policymakers. and why the afterlife perspective shifts everything we think we know about governance and responsibility. Oh, I love how they bring up governance, because that's about getting it away from people and moving it more to the tyranny of experts, kind of like Klaus Schwab, you know, that sort of thing. Some of the articles that he's written includes John McCain's final warning, why the fight against climate change is a matter of patriotism. Could you imagine that? Now, I don't know if you've ever read anything about channeling. Channeling is when people supposedly they purport to go into a trance. And I remember there was this going on in southern Washington when I was living in Olympia in the Seattle area a number of years ago. Who was it? Jay-Z Knight, I think was her name. And she used to channel or claim to channel this this spirit guide named Ramtha. And so people would pay Jay-Z lots of money, and they would get around in a circle and om, om, om. I am Ramtha! And, you know, all of a sudden she starts, you know, using a guttural voice or something like that. And it was a great way to make money. And maybe Ramtha was there. I don't know. But, you know, apparently we have all these spirits that are just hanging around just waiting to talk to the right people for a certain amount of money. All right. That seems to be, you know, the way it is. But I'm just imagining, you know, we could get a chance to talk to John McCain from beyond the grave. I mean, just think about that. I mean, this is a great Conspiracy Theory Thursday talk, isn't it? Wouldn't this be great? Do it on a Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We could have this this guy who claims to talk to John going, yes, my friends. Yes, my friends, you must give up fossil fuels. It's a matter of patriotism. That's right. And yes, Donald Trump is the devil. You know, I mean, he could, you know, he kind of give us his perspective from beyond the grave. You know, that sort of thing. Richard Nixon. I am not a crook. I am not a crook. I'm still not a crook, even from beyond the grave. By the way, I liked Nixon. I know my parents all voted for him back in the late 60s. You know, we all voted for Nixon at that time. But remember, Nixon's the guy who came up with the Environmental Protection Agency. And it actually started off with a pretty good thing. So could you imagine Dick Nixon's advice through the spiritual channel from beyond the grave? I'm still not a crook. Get rid of your cars. Get rid of your natural gas. And, oh, by the way, Pat tells me that bugs taste really good. Eat the bugs. Part of me is intrigued by this and just realized that and another part of me understands that it's a bit of nonsense, but there's a part of me that just wants to, I don't know what to think about this, because like I said, this is the weirdest pitch I've ever received. There's a part of me that says, oh my gosh, this is the next grift, this is the next racket in the climate change thing. When they start promoting getting the thoughts of Nixon and McCain and that sociopath Teddy Roosevelt from beyond the grave on climate change right now, to me, that tells me that the climate change hoax is really starting to collapse, because it's almost like they're pulling out bigger guns. We need to find a spiritual channel to talk about this. See, I'm giving you a little bit of a peek behind, you know, Oz at the controls here, what goes on behind, and people always writing me saying, Bill, talk with me. Bill, talk with me. But anyway, what would you think? Should I talk to someone like that? Would that be interesting? I would be trying not to laugh, really. But I don't know. I'll do what you think. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. This is Vicky from the Applegate.
Hi, Vicky. How are you doing? What do you think about talking with a guy who claims to channel Nixon and McCain and Roosevelt from beyond the grave? And they want to talk about climate change, I guess, in the spiritual beyond. That's what they're thinking about. You know, they're up there with the streets of gold and everything else, but they're worried about climate change here on Earth.
No. No. No, 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 no.
You don't think so?
Do it. No.
Even for a good laugh or entertainment value?
Honestly, you know, Bill, I watched the Trump address to Congress, and as an American, I was disgusted with the way that the Democrats acted.
Yeah.
They...
Well, it was very petty and very, coming from a very dark, heartless, and soulless place, okay?
Well, you know, and honestly, when Trump washed the board of the popular vote, took all of the prime states, mm-hmm. That wasn't just Republicans voting.
Yeah, no, I get this, but my question though is if I should be talking to the channel that wants to talk to John McCain.
No,
I mean, don't we want to know what John McCain has to say from beyond the grave?
No, just read a book. I mean, if you really want to see what he said, go back to the history book where they told the truth and find out what he said.
Okay, all right. No, but this is about what John McCain thinks about the current climate crisis, you know, using the term that Wyden and Merkley would be using, right?
Bill, he's dead. He's dead.
He's dead, Bill. Okay.
He isn't thinking about anything. I don't know which way he went, but he's one place or the other.
Hey, now, that's funny, just the fact that you said you don't know which direction he went. I love that. Thanks for the call. Yeah, he went the other direction. What was he called? Mockingbird or Songbird or something like that? Supposedly. Let me go. Just go next line. Hi, good morning. It's Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Who's this? This is Bill.
Good morning. This is David in Phoenix.
Hello, Genghis David.
Khan. Genghis Khan, please stand by.
Is Genghis
Bill,
Khan with
Bill,
you?
Bill, do not do this. Do not give any more credence to these people. Do not give them any legitimacy. just leave things as they are and let them stew in their own soup. Oh, hey, Bill. That was Genghis. Did he have anything interesting to say? I missed that.
You missed that part? Oh, okay. Hey, do I owe you any money? Because usually when you're doing the channeling, they charge you, you know, a good chunk of change. So what do you think?
Hang on. Just one moment.
All right.
Yes, this is Genghis again. I only take gold bullion, and I will burn your cities. Oh.
You know, that had to be the real Genghis. That had to be the real Genghis because he was talking about gold. That's real money. That's real money. That's great. Okay. All right.
Well, all right, Bill. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'll get that to you. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that, David. Good morning. This is Bill. Hi. Who's this on Conspiracy Theory Thursday?
Oh, good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Hi, Francine.
Hi. Well, I want to talk to you about the soda controversy, but I'll chime in on this topic real quick to say
you can't help, right? You got to bite on this, right?
Oh, it's irresistible.
Yeah, I knew you would think that too, because I was looking at this too, and I'm laughing on one hand. I'm thinking, gosh, it could be almost fun to talk to him, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, to be really honest, okay. First of all, we have George Norrie. Send him to see George.
Uh huh.
And the other thing is to have a guest on that we already ridicule, and we would be ridiculing a person no matter how ridiculous they might be, that's just kind of mean.
So,
you know?
So what?
Well, yeah, but why bother? I mean, why be mean and petty? Because you know you're going to make fun of this guy. Why even?
No. I wouldn't be mean and petty to his face. I'd be mean and petty once he's off the air.
You know,
it's like you bring him on, it's just like, thank you very much. I really appreciate your perspective. I hang up on him and say, but what a loon, huh? You know, there's a part of me though that admires him. I'm thinking this is the best climate change scam yet, in which you're channeling dead people from beyond the grave and then trying to get policy change. We are warming, you know, eat the bugs. I'm Richard Nixon. Eat the bugs. They're very tasty. I know that because they've been eating me for a number of years. But anyway.
Bill, we've had dead people voting for decades.
Why don't we have dead people advising us today then? Why not?
Well, they're influencing the election, so what the heck?
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
All right, I'll give it to you.
Now then, what about the soda wars? I know they were talking about that. I got that article off of Wall Street Journal this morning, and the whole war is getting soda off of SNAP benefits, and it seems to me be a perfectly good idea. It's just what I'm thinking.
Well, okay, here's the deal. First of all, it's a big distraction, this big controversy over soda, okay? People are going to drink soda if they want to, no matter what. And soda is made by manufacturers that make it an addictive. They make it addictive, okay? It's just like cigarettes. They put all these chemicals in cigarettes to make them highly addictive so that people would smoke more and more and more, and also they would get sicker and sicker and sicker. And instead of going after, you know, cleaning up the tobacco and cleaning up the drinks, they go after the people who you shouldn't buy this. We're going to make rules to punish.
Well, no one's telling you shouldn't buy it. The thing is, though, that you see, Francine, I disagree with you on this. Here's why.
Okay.
If you're on SNAP benefits and you're using SNAP benefits to purchase food, you are being an electronic beggar. And
I get that. And hold on a minute.
Yeah, you're an electronic beggar, and electronic beggars don't get you just to do everything they want. That's all. And by the way, I'm not saying it insulting. We have just taken begging on the streets now. And instead of people begging for a handout on the street for everything, you know, we give them a card of benefit. And so we've just kind of we've sanitized it somewhat. And then to say, though, that I'm going to give you money forcibly taken from other people, but I can't tell you how you can spend it. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, when you give a dollar to the bum on the corner, you know, that doesn't they're going to save them up and go buy a beer.
Yeah, but I volunteered to do that. SNAP benefits is forcibly taken from the productive people and transferred to people who need it. OK,
well, see, that's not my point anyways, whether you tell them what they can drink. It's like my point is we need to go after the manufacturers who are producing poison and addicting people to it.
Yeah, but one person's poison is another person's treat. So I don't necessarily agree with going after them on that.
Well, you know, I don't know, Bill. I think that, you know, that's supposedly what MAHA is all about, you know, trying to get things cleaned up so that we're not addicted. Because most people aren't going to sit there and spend their time looking up what the effects.
Hey, listen, Bobby Kennedy could make regular sodas a lot better right now just by banning the use of high fructose corn syrup in the drinks. Okay,
yeah, and aspartame and things like that.
Yeah, and by the way, I have been working really hard to get that out of my diet, and it's hard because I'll tell you, it's high fructose corn syrup, and if you're looking at anything, any kind of diet food, aspartame, oh, it's in there. It's bad. We know it's bad.
Yeah.
And yet, I get it. All right. Hey, appreciate the call. Thanks for that, Francine, because I have to make sure I have to get the Southern Oregon jury to tell me whether or not I should talk to the spiritual channeler of Richard Nixon and Teddy Roosevelt and John McCain. See, this is how they get the conservatives to slide over to the right climate change way of action. Hi. Good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Excellent job. I want you to know that I'm not a crook. I never was a crook. And I want to make myself perfectly clear.
President Nixon, I appreciate you calling me. Okay, now, should I talk to this? Now, the thing is, though, you know, if you'll call me for free, I'll have you just call the show. And we'll talk about your climate change deals, President, your point of view, President Nixon. Okay?
Well, this is Tom from Talent, and I'm a channeler, too, and I'm channeling Richard Nixon, our greatest president that ever was, and I just wanted to let you know you're doing a fine job, but don't believe these imposters.
Oh, okay. Now, is there a chance, Tom, that you could pick up maybe channeling Ronald Reagan, since he's been gone for a little while, and I'm sure that he would have an interesting perspective, too. What about that? Could you work on that?
My fellow Americans? Go for it.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Tom, / Richard. Good morning. Hi, this is Bill on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Who's this?
Bill, would that be me?
That is you. Good morning.
Bill, I want to treat this seriously, but look, I only do this usually on Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
But I reached out to the Magic 8-Ball through my Ouija board.
You reached out to what now?
I reached out to the Magic 8-Ball.
Oh, the Magic 8-Ball. Okay.
Yeah, via my Ouija board. And the Magic 8-Ball says no. The Magic 8-Ball says Nixon, McCain, and Roosevelt cannot be trusted on this subject or any other. So it's not a hard no for me.
Okay.
I'm an open-minded guy. I want to stay open-minded.
Yeah, see, I'm an open-minded guy, too. Although I'm saying, you know, of all the pitches I've received, this one is like, okay, really? Okay, this is how we're going to convince conservatives to go on the right side of the climate change thing. We're going to challenge the spirits of dead presidents and dead senators, to get us to think the right way. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, there's some issues I have to go to the higher power here. So even though I might be open-minded, I'm not going against the Magic 8-Ball. Magic 8-Ball says no, so it's a hard no.
All right, Magic 8-Ball. Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. Good morning. Line one, you're on with Bill Meyer on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Go ahead. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this is Trucker Mike, Bill.
Hey, Trucker Mike. What's on your mind?
Bring the guy on. Let's listen to what he's got to say. If nothing else, it'll be good for a laugh.
So the idea is that I treat him extra special until we hang up, right?
No, not that.
No?
Treat him like you would, you know, courteously, like you would everybody else.
Okay.
And then once he's gone, you know, be yourself.
Okay. All right. I'll take that under advisement, Trucker Mike. Appreciate the call. Yeah, part of me would be interested to see, where this racket would go. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
Hey, this is Lauren, not in Eagle Point.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Stay away from the occult, Bill. The only spirit you should be listening to is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, except that you know what occult means, though. Just hidden. That's all.
Well, the Bible talks an awful lot about it, my friend, and you want to stay away from it.
Okay.
And don't even get messed up, okay? That's my answer. Stay
okay, away. Now you try to tell me that we can't even talk to this guy just for fun and entertainment.
Well, if it influences anybody that you can talk to spirits, then it would be wrong as far as I'm concerned. Oh. Here again, I'm a preacher and
you being a preacher, though, this is one thing I've always wanted to ask you. There's something about this. Why is it that the only spirit is the Holy Spirit? That doesn't make sense to me. Or I'm talking about the only spirit which is out there is the Holy Spirit. Could you explain that to me? Seriously.
Well, because that's the way God established it, the trifold Trinity,
but,
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I get that, but you have dark, but you have, to, in order to have the light, you also have the dark, too. The dark exists, too. It must exist, right?
I can agree with that.
Oh, okay.
There's satanic influence everywhere, but we don't have to deal with it in any way, from my perspective. We don't have to deal with it anyway, and that's why I called you up this morning to say stay away from it.
All right. So even though, because a part of me is intrigued by this, it's like going, oh, this could be so fun. You know, but
I understand that too, probably.
All right. Because, that'd be great. It would be really great to talk to the guy channeling John McCain and say, and just asking John, how hot is it where you are right now? Okay. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
That would influence people the right way, maybe.
Yeah, could be. Okay. It's like, well, I've gotten used to the heat here, but, it's a dry heat.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Lauren. Okay. If you can't start off Conspiracy Theory Thursday with a little weirdness, what's the point? This is the Bill Maher Show.
When you choose a contractor, how do you know you're getting the best? Anyone can claim to be the area's top, but numbers don't lie. When you hire Clouser Drilling, you're getting a company that has 1 million feet, 4,600 wells, 54 years, and 4 generations drilling here in Josephine and Jackson County. Clouser Drilling has 6 licensed drillers and 4 modern drill rigs, giving customers confidence in one great product. The number's 541-476-7795. The name's Clouser. Contact Clouser Drilling today.
Get your team together and jump into an icy outdoor pool for a great cause at the Southern Oregon Polar Plunge for Special Olympics Oregon. Jump out of your comfort zone and into the chilly water to benefit athletes with intellectual disabilities. It's cold enough. Are you bold enough to support these athletes? Join us this Saturday, March 8th. The fun starts with a warm-up 5K run at 9:30 and the plunge at 11 a.m. at the Rogue Valley Country Club in Medford. Register your team, volunteer, or skip the dip and donate at soor.org/soplunge.
If an IT help desk basically just told you keeping the front yard rooster in a 55-gallon aquarium means never using airline miles to pick out paint colors, call Kelly Connect. We speak IT help desk language so you don't have to. From strategic solutions with IT support and cybersecurity to printing supplies and services to pet naming, Kelly Connect solves those problems so you can get back to running the business you set out to run in the first place.
Connect with success with Kelly Connect, Avion Drive, Medford, or visit kellyconnect.com.
I'm Tony Dusty with Dusty's Transmissions, and I'm on KMED.
6:34, ran a little long because we had to have a little conversation about the channeling of Richard Nixon. And like I said, to me, this is the I have to give the people kudos. At least, I have no doubt that the climate change churches, and believe me, it is kind of like a state religion, that kind of thing. I can certainly see them. Getting involved in here. Oh, we have Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of the best. We have JFK here. JFK is here, and he's saying that, you need to get rid of fossil fuels, too, and eat the bugs. And I could see, Democrats in the South County, Ashland, places like that, Ashland, Phoenix, Talent, going, oh, yeah, that is great. That is so wise. So wise. You channel Gandhi, somebody claiming to be Gandhi, those sort of things. But the fact that they're going over to the conservative side of the aisle and say, hey, you know, hear what Nixon and Roosevelt and John McCain, of all people, right? Oh, yeah, that's a stamp of approval these days. Yeah, we all love John McCain. Remember, Americans, if you get paid $50 an hour to pick lettuce, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. I don't know about that, Don. Or John, really. Okay, we'll set that one aside here. But I am going to be talking with Maureen Steele. I haven't had the pleasure to talk with her yet, but she is a co-founder of the American Made Foundation. Wants to talk about a serious issue, child protective services. Apparently a big money-making racket in the United States. And a great Conspiracy Theory Thursday topic. We'll talk with her after news and much more. And we appreciate you waking up here on KMED and KBXG.
Service is the difference with Sweetwater Sanitation, your experts for sanitation services and portable restrooms. From pumping septic tanks, grease traps, even holding...
It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
By the way, Maureen, who is going to come on from the American Made Foundation, she is on the road, had a family emergency. We're going to get her rescheduled. I do want to talk with her about it because she has an interesting take. She's a paralegal and is helping people get educated on the Republic, something worth talking about, but just not going to do it this morning, okay? Things like that happen. I wanted to pose a question to you this morning. I know that today the markets seem to be breathing. I'm speaking about the stock market, of course. They're breathing a little bit better or easier, I guess, or almost a sigh of relief, I guess, because the Trump administration has given a temporary 30-day reprieve to the automobile manufacturers that are importing, you know, ostensibly American-made cars and trucks back in. Mostly from Mexico, yes, some from Canada, you know, that sort of thing. And they're not going to have to pay the 25% tariff on them right now. So 30-day reprieve until they get this all sorted out. And I wanted to ask you, how is this going to play? How do you believe this will play? Is it as elegant as President Trump? I know most of us listening here probably are very supportive of President Trump. And I know that a lot of people will bend over backwards and do whatever it takes to try to defend everything. Can our economy take the pain right now? Do you think the economy is capable of taking the pain? I would argue that we're almost probably could be in a recession even right now in some markets. And I'll just tell you, how about even in my world? And like I said, I'm not saying that tariffs can't be useful. But the part that has concerned me is that we already had trade deals with Canada and Mexico, the USMCA. Remember that one? And that was the one, in fact, President Trump did that deal a number of years ago. And so now we're adding additional tariffs for other purposes. Okay, and that could be fine. You don't want to second guess it. But I got to tell you, these are serious. These are serious increases. And I'll give you an example just in my industry alone. And I have a feeling if I'm getting emails like this, maybe if you're involved in purchasing or providing services in a business, you might be noticing it too. Now, I know what NBC5 did is that they went over to some Mexican food store and they're interviewing the person. They're, oh, look at how much the food's going to cost more here. And, oh, what are you going to do? That kind of thing. Well, those are small dollars overall. It matters to that store owner. I get that. But this is what I got from a antenna manufacturer. This is an email I got from, let's see, which company is it? Aviat Networks. In fact, I got it from my corporate chief engineer, Kevin Mostyn. He sent it to me just so we knew about these things. Aviat pass-through of supplier tariff charges. Notification, dear valued customer, as you may be aware, recent tariffs have been announced that will impact the cost of products across the industry. Due to the tariff, Aviat will apply a surcharge or price increase affected by the tariffs, both on new quotes and existing orders. So even if you have an order in there right now, please note that we are actively working with our suppliers to minimize the customer impact. The list of affected parts will likely evolve over the coming days. Now, if I were to buy a 8, 10, or 12-foot antenna, it comes from Mexico. 25% extra tariff on top of that. Now, there would be an increase or surcharge of 9% on anything made by aluminum. So that's big. And I'll give you an example of how this would hit American businesses right now. I'll give you an example. I'm kind of giving you some inside baseball. A few years ago, we had a lightning strike at one of our antenna sites here in Southern Oregon. Lightning strike, and it blew the antenna up and burned stuff up. And antennas in the broadcast world are a very expensive thing to get made. They're heavy duty. They're designed to be up there 30, 40, 50 years. Non-corrosive. They have to have certain patterns. And they're not like an antenna that you may have at home on a radio or television or something like that. We're talking about big pipey kind of looking things that can be 16, 20, 25 feet long, weigh hundreds of pounds, strapped to towers. They look like little rototiller blades, you know, on the end of them, have to be put up. And so when that antenna that we had blew up, I think we purchased it from a company called ERI. And I'm giving you prices from 4 or 5 years ago. It was close to $40,000, if I recall, maybe $35,000, $40,000. It was a lot of money. And then another $10,000, $15,000 to hire the crew to come up there and work on the tower and take the old one down and then put the new one up. Very, very big expense. Huge. Huge money, you know, for small businesses, broadcast companies in small markets, things like that. Now, fortunately, insurance covered, you know, a bit of that kind of stuff. And and practically all the antennas now are not made in the United States of America because American labor has gotten to the point where it is so expensive, everyone has moved it. You may know about Katrine Scala. Katrine Scala was in Southern Oregon here. In fact, they're still in Southern Oregon, but I think they have mostly just engineering and technical support people now over in White City. But Katrine Scala also made tons of broadcast antennas. We bought tons of them from them over the years. They were just down the street from us here, and it's in the building which now has Grace Christian Schools. They took that piece of property over. So Katrine Scala ended up outsourcing or moving their factories too because it's a global market. You don't make money just selling antennas to United States broadcasting companies. You have to sell them to Singapore broadcast stations and British broadcasting and everything. It's a global market. That's the way this goes. And United States labor costs couldn't pencil. And that's why they moved it. And by the way, this happened a number of years ago. This has been being pushed for a long, long time by the system. But I got to tell you, this knocks, this is a big hole when someone says, okay, your $40,000 antenna is now going to be it was made in Mexico, and your $40,000 antenna is now going to be a $50,000 antenna. Oh, by the way, it's going to be another 10% on top of that. No, it will now be a $55,000 antenna, and this is even if you already had it ordered. That's what that email I had just said. You may have ordered it a few months ago, but it's being manufactured right now and then being exported. So from 40 to 55,000. Now, I know what the Trump administration is trying to do is saying, hey, listen, if we increase the price of these Mexican imports, even though it's an American company, you can have an American company like Katrine Scala, they'll bring the manufacturing back here. I would like to think that's true. But that still doesn't change the cost of American labor, does it? American labor, you know, when you're in a place, well, even look out here in Oregon, where all you have to do is have a pulse, pull the lever, and say, do you want biscotti or fries with that? And you're paid $15 an hour. That's how we got to this point. What is your opinion about something like this? And by the way, if we needed an antenna, we would have to pay for it anyway. There are practically no antenna or very few antenna manufacturers that are making big broadcast stuff here in the United States of America because of the incredible increase in the cost of labor. Now, there are some. But even when you buy broadcast, I'm just telling you, I'm one business, just one business. I'm a guy that's in charge of having to try to keep things working and fixing things when the lightning strikes something and then it blows up. This is real. And to all of a sudden tell a business that, you need this. The only way you can get it is to import it, and then it's going to be 25% more like that. That is recessionary and inflationary at the same time, isn't it? Is it the best way of going about it? 770-5633. I'm just telling you the way it's going to be because I know the way it would be for me if I had to buy another antenna right now. I was sitting there sweating that. Okay, man, I got to come up with another $15,000, $20,000. And, at least the crew that's putting it in is American. You know that part. Yeah, no, we're not hiring illegal aliens. Yeah, go down to the Home Depot and say, oh, by the way, could you get a tower crew together and then go up to a broadcast facility? But I'm just telling you, that's the real world, how it affects the real world. And I know the Trump administration's talking big, beautiful tariffs, and I'd like to say I think it'll be effective. I'm not convinced that a temporary artificial bump in the cost of an import will long-term make American labor more competitive because of all the other issues we have, high taxes, high regulatory state, and all the rest. If you have any thoughts on it, I'm just throwing it out to you. I'm just telling you how it affects the real world, okay? 770-5633. Let me go to line one, and we could talk about that or anything else on your mind. But I think it's worthy of discussion. Hi, this is Bill. Who's this?
Butch.
Hey, Butch. How you doing this morning? What are you thinking?
Well, actually, I called for a different reason, but in response to your last question, people are under the misconception that if you have a job, it should be a living wage. And there's no way you can flip burgers and afford a home and a family and a car. But it seems like people have a home, a family, a car, and then they wonder why they don't have enough money to pay for it all.
Hmm.
They've got three or four kids. And they're flipping burgers someplace, and it's like, I deserve more money.
And then the other side of it will say, well, we have decided to deindustrialize, right? Well, when we were industrializing post-World War II, we were the only people left, which gave us a huge advantage at that time. That was wonderful. You know, everybody else's, their factories were all destroyed. And so that was a great fat time, you know, to be in industry. And now our main export are printed fiat dollars. You know, we export dollars and we exchange it for stuff. But then
also remember during that period of time, because that's when I grew up, mostly, I don't want to sound sexist or anything, mm-hmm. but mostly mom stayed home and her career, her job was maintaining the household, taking care of the financial stuff and the children.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up because I've often, and I've read people who have thought the same thing that I've wondered, that one of the pushes of getting two people working out there was to cover up for the inflation that was roaring through our economy even then. You go from one to two workers.
Yeah, but
right?
the boat and the Harley and the jet ski and the four-wheel drive truck and all that stuff, that should wait until you can afford to do it, not until you're going to raise my hamburger price to $20.
Okay, so what was the other thing you wanted to call about since I got your take on the tariff thing? Go ahead.
Thank you so much.
What was the other one?
I am a proud veteran,
mm-hmm.
but I never, ever ask for a veteran's discount. I figure if somebody's going to give it to me, I appreciate it. I don't ask for it. I don't look for it. It doesn't change where I shop. But after the recent fiasco I went through when NoDOT decided to re-register my 1963 Plymouth drag car and not my
and you couldn't get it fixed.
Magnum.
You couldn't get it fixed. I read your email on the air, yeah.
Right. Well, then I got looking at the registration papers. And I pay $20 more when I renew my vehicle because I have veteran plates. Now, I understand initially maybe it costs a little more to change the dyes and whatever to make the license.
Okay, now wait a minute. Now, that's a ripoff from the state. There is nothing about your veteran's plate once you pay the initial cost for the special plate that you should be paying more because you have a veteran's plate. That's ridiculous.
$20 a shot, and I have three vehicles where I had.
Yeah.
I can't afford to register all of them now, so my van just sits. But it's what a ripoff. And then when I write to my local representatives in the state, they send me back this thing, well, here, try this number, try this number, try this number. And I wrote back, I said, do you think I write to a state senator for a DMV problem without going to DMV about it first?
Well, maybe they're just as frustrated. Butch, thanks for the call. Let me tell you, that's a rip. I'm sorry. Veterans, nobody should have to pay to renew a plate that you already paid more for to start with, okay? All right. Yikes. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this? Welcome.
Morning, Bill. Steve in Center Valley.
Hi, Steve. What are you thinking this morning?
I'm thinking you're looking at it from a very selfish perspective.
Why is that?
This is not hurting you. It's helping the Mexicans so they can afford better wages. Think of it as a slave tax, especially in China.
Oh.
So that we will improve their lives by allowing their companies to pay them better wages. No, seriously.
Okay. You had a little tongue in cheek then. Okay, I get it now. I'm sorry. I'm a little slow this morning, Steve. Okay.
We really do need to bring manufacturing back to the United States, just for the fact that we cannot build our own defense if we don't have it here.
And I would agree with you. The difference, though, is that the defense is paid for out of tax money, and the tariffing, from what I'm seeing, is going on to the private sector, which largely is not, you know, it's not one of those things. I know that the Trump administration would say, boo-hoo, you know, your $40,000 antenna is now $55,000. Too bad for you, you know.
No. I agree with you. But wouldn't it be great if we could make those in the United States and it would cost the same and we'd employ an American worker to do it and we'd have the technology growing here again instead of Mexico or Taiwan?
Yeah, but do you think, though, that Americans are willing for their wages and benefits to go down to the competition?
Well, we'll see what happens to those tariff dollars. If they can lower our taxes, then it's a win.
That's another point. That's another very good point. All right, Steve, I thank you. It's another way of looking at this, too. Thank you. 770-5633. By the way, this hasn't affected me. I'm just saying that I'm getting the notices from suppliers, and so I know that if I did, it's pretty expensive. But anyway, hi, who's this? Good morning.
Bill, it's Dave. Good morning.
Morning, Dave. What are you thinking?
Well, that's why I listen to you, Bill, because you ask great questions and cover great topics like this. This is a great topic. I just want to thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So
sure.
Let's go back when you first brought this up and you said, can the American economy handle the pain? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it probably, when you're talking about the economy, it can't. Here's a better question from my standpoint. Okay. Can the American people handle pain, any pain? Okay.
That's a very good point. That's a good question. Yeah.
And my,
I was kind of stepping into that a little bit yesterday when we were talking about the changes needed, right?
My take on that is that they can't. I mean, we've been, you know, our threshold for any sort of pain or economic pain or delay, anything like that has gone so far down. Look at interest rates right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are mortgage rates right now? What, about 6%?
Yeah, between 6.65, which is not high by historical standards at all.
Yeah, and so when we bought our first house in Portland years ago, I mean, I got 11% and I was happy. And you know what? I had to save money to make a 20% down payment on my house.
So you must have bought back in the 80s. Is that your first house, right?
90s.
Oh, okay.
But look, Bill, in the old days, they called that thrift. Now we have the government keeping that. Everybody's convinced that 5-6% is too high. Okay, it needs to be, it always needs to be low, like at 2%. That's not right, okay?
You know what caused that, though? You know what caused that, David? is the financial war that essentially the Federal Reserve, at the behest of the federal government, did, which was about we had to punish savers, and so we make the money cheap. It helps us borrow more and be able to finance a national debt. And on top of that, you blow up a nice asset bubble, which is what's been going. First, you blow up a stock bubble asset, then you blow up a real estate asset, then you have the 2008 global financial crisis.
There's another cause for that.
Yeah,
it started with the Clinton administration, and it's this ridiculous, this insipid idea of equity. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's not fair. That's what caused the whole 2008 thing. It's not fair to somebody.
It's not fair that people with bad credit can't get a loan.
They can't come over to the house. So we're just going to give them a house anyway and kind of look what happened. So here's what I think about the tariffs, okay?
Sure.
I honestly believe this, okay? And I think that's why Donald Trump is the only person who would ever do anything like this. He would never venture. He would never wade into this type of water, or turn his ship into this type of water. No other president would do that. But here's what I believe in my heart. Okay, there's huge trade imbalances. Okay, with these countries, if you look at any of them, even China, but especially Canada and Mexico, they need us far more than. For God's sake, Canada has 40 million people. That's about as big as California. Okay, they need America and the American market far more than we need them. Trump understands that. But what these countries are counting on right now, right this minute, is what we just talked about.
Right.
Okay, they're counting on the fact that the American people are just going to fold. Something will be more expensive for a while, or this will be uncomfortable for a while, which has happened throughout history. It's like not a new thing. But these China, Mexico, Canada, that's what they're counting on, is that the American people are going to fold up and start whining. And then we can't keep doing this because it's too hard. And I don't think that's right.
All right. I appreciate the call. And that's why I posed the question. Thank you. 770-5633. Hi, this is Bill. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Bill. Matt. Sorry to call you twice in one.
Matt, day. It's okay. I'm happy. I know that we had a ridiculous topic for the first half hour, so I don't mind people calling again after that, you know. We're not talking about channeling Dick Nixon now. So, but anyway, what are you thinking?
Thank God. So, the tariffs are interesting. Here's the deal. I love your antenna example because that's a real story. It's like you said, it's not there yet, but you're hearing from suppliers that this is going to be a possibility.
And the thing is that they're telling us, even if you have already made the order and it's in the process, that we got to boost it because that's the rule, because it's going to be imported eventually from that factory in Mexico and or Canada, and hence there we are, and they're warning you. It's what they're doing.
I actually saw an interview yesterday with a car dealership in Illinois, and he had a customer who had ordered an $85,000 GMC truck, so it was one of the big ones, and they were looking at these tariffs coming up, and the guy had not taken delivery of the truck, and it was being manufactured in Canada, and so the dealers kind of, you know, I'm going to have to go back to my customer and tell him that this is going to cost me more. So, but the point I want to make is this. There's two sides to the tariffs, maybe three, but the two that are obvious to me is if you're going to use tariffs to encourage people like Honda or Toyota to bring their manufacturing plant to your country, you have to make it affordable to do that beyond the tariffs. And you bring up a great point in regards to wages. If I was going to try to persuade people to come to America to manufacture, now obviously it's not an issue when you have Apple spending $500 billion because these are high-end jobs they're hiring for.
Right.
So the fact that minimum wage is 20 bucks doesn't matter. But when we're talking about the other kinds of manufacturing where the wages are not, you know, $150,000, $250,000 a year, you have to go to states that have friendly regulation. Statewide minimum wages, statewide, facilities that can be built inexpensively. So it is tariffs. I understand why he's doing it. I know there's going to be a disruption. I'll live with it. I'll give him a shot. But you have to make it affordable. Once you're encouraging people to make it here, to get out of the tariff, you must make it affordable to build it here. It has to be another component to this.
Yeah, and that's the caveat. You can't just say, hey, we're going to make this automatically. Like, hey, you can put a high tariff on aluminum, And it'd be great to make more aluminum here. We used to. But those are billions of dollars in capital decisions and years before you can make that happen, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, I like some of the stuff Trump has done in regards to business. You know, this Nippon Steel buying U.S. Steel, I've got misgivings, not because U.S. Steel's been around, you know, forever. None of that. I don't care about any of that. But I like the fact that he said, look, don't buy them. Invest in them. Get your return through an investment as opposed to owning the whole thing. Those are the kinds of brilliant things that only minds of a businessman can come up with. Politicians would never have thought that. Never. It would never have occurred to them. And that's the difference between having someone who's a businessman being involved than having a politician being involved. Because, yeah, there are some great businessmen who become politicians. But this guy Langford, who was, I forget, he's in the Kansas or Oklahoma, and he was coming out saying we needed immigration reform.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lie. He lives in a place where you have a lot of butcher shops and meatpacking plants. And what he wanted is he wanted a permanent way to have illegal cheap labor coming into his state because he was being lobbied for that. He didn't really believe that that was going to cause the border to shut. But the fact is you need someone who's a business thinker to run this country like a business for once. And we're seeing that. So I'm giving it a wide berth right now.
Yeah.
But with the tariffs and all, you've got to give them the carrot, which is to make it cheap to make it here if you're going to ask them to do it.
And there has to be the ability to make it cheap here. Otherwise, all you're doing is bringing even more inflation. And we don't want that right now either. Okay.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Hey, Matt, good call. Glad you made it back. And if you're on hold here, folks, I'll be right back with you here. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. We will get your calls. Open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday.